From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, USDA notes about 14% of Americans are using SNAP, food stamps. And the National Resource Council doubts next-gen ethanol products will be ready to meet the federal government's 2022 mandate. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you about a variable cash rent agreement that sets a minimum, a bonus, and a maximum dollar figure, and that is FSA-friendly. Oh, and don't forget, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated as we close out this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, on this Wednesday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day higher. December contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.25 and a quarter, up 21 and a quarter cents today. The March 20 higher at $6.60, July at $6.98 and three quarters for the new crop harvest month in the wheat pit, 17 cents higher from Chicago. July hard red in Kansas City, a $7.29 and three quarter cents settlement price, up 14 cents back in Chicago from the corn pit. December lead option corn at $6.05 and a half, up 17 and three quarters. The March at $6.18 and a quarter, up 17 and a half, and May corn, $6.26, up 17 and a half. July future, $6.30 and three quarters, up 17. September, $5.99 and a quarter, up 14 and a half. And December corn, $5.73 and a quarter, up 12 and a half cents. November soybeans today, $11.63 and three quarters, three and three quarters higher. January at $11.75 and a half, up three and three quarters. March at $11.85 and a quarter, up 4 cents. And May futures, $11.93 and three quarters, up four and a quarter. July soybeans, $12 a penny and a quarter, three and three quarters higher. Next year's November, $11.84 and three quarters of a cent. November beans of 2012, up four and a quarter for the day. Bean meal at $301.50, up $3.20. Bean oil on the day at $49, up 21. Live cattle futures, October at $122.80, up $1.77 and a half. Feeders at $139.35, up 45. And hogs at $93.67 and a half, 27 and a half. Higher. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby crude oil at $79.58 a barrel, up $3.90. Ethanol at $2.52, that's 6 2/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $3.57 and a tenth, 6 7/10 lower. Heating oil at $2.77 and 3/10, up 5 tenths of a cent, or rather up 5 cents. And gold futures on the day at $1,640.30 an ounce, up $25.60. The Dow now stands at 10,900, 92 points higher. The dollar at 78.9, down 0.69. The CRB index at 298.77, 5.49 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 81 degrees. Tonight, clear, a low of 50. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 82. Thursday, mostly clear, a low of 54 degrees. Friday, sunny, a high of 83. Friday night, clear, and a low of 57. Saturday, sunny skies, a high near 83. Saturday night, clear, and a low of 55. On Sunday, we'll see sunny skies, a high near 81. And Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 54 degrees. By the time we get to Monday, which is Columbus Day, sunny and a high of 80 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 56. And on Tuesday of next week, mostly sunny with a high near 79 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley from ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is here to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, last week when we talked, you were not terribly enthusiastic about the marketplace. Do you feel like it stabilized itself at this point, or are you still not as friendly as you'd like to be?
Well, it's a wonderful million-dollar question. And the first last week, I was bearish and just focusing in on the ag side. But we are seeing a couple things from A to Z here that is interesting. Today we're seeing crude oil up 375. The Dow futures are up 110. Gold and silver's higher. And there is this general feeling, yesterday the Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke, the senators basically all pointed their finger at Europe and said, let's wake up over there and get with the mainstream. We've had a lot more experience with the problems than you had, and it's time for the central government to basically support the big banking system and prevent a big tailspin. And some of that is probably with good communication and watching every press conference in the world is probably leaked over there and basically woke Germany and France and the other EU countries up. Also, we're looking at Informa. The old Sparks group came in at 149.5 bushels per acre and beans at 41.8. They didn't raise the bean crop, but the Illinois bean crop was reduced a bushel, which surprises me. The corn crop was left at 161. Indiana, 146, was up, and the Indiana bean crop was up 2 bushels the acre. The only thing we can say is that this is a very good soybean crop here in East Central Illinois. It's not a record, but we are seeing these big green and red combines move awful slow, and some of the yield monitors are reporting some excellent yields. And it's not just Edgar and Douglas counties; it covers East Central Illinois pretty well. So there's a ton of beans flowing into the marketplace, and these big capacity elevators are working full throttle to handle this harvest.
Does that make you less optimistic about the bean price?
Well, I think we have some major problems. Okay. One of them, of course, China, has disappeared from the market. We know that the corn prices are $100 a ton cheaper here in the U.S., than they are in China. So there's ever economic reason in the world for the Chinese to buy, but they're not. And we understand, the Feed Grain Council also indicated that their crop possibly was a good crop, but they still need to import a fairly large volume of corn. The old deal is that we don't know everything that goes on in the industry, but my hunch is that if China was really in here asking for grain bids, the corn market would probably be a little higher than it is. But this crop is a little better than we thought 30 to 45 days ago, and I think the marketplace is aware of that.
The marketplace is aware of it. We're in the midst of harvest. We usually get a dip lower. How low do you think we'll go?
Well, one very good, shrewd customer said, don't we have to buy acres? And the answer is no. Let's get that, drop that one, put a big line through that one. We aren't going to play that game anymore. And, of course, we will see this government production with all these enumerators out here that check the yields. And we probably will have a pretty accurate report. My hunch is that it is going to be a little bigger report. The problem is we have to fight for every bushel of export sales out there, and that's what makes me a little nervous at this point. And wheat's substituted in the feed rations, And it's a trickier game than it was 25 years ago.
When the folks in your area are coming across the scale, are they making new sales? Or are they asking for folks?
Well, I asked that very question, very same question at 7:30 in this morning, and the feeling is they're filling contracts, and they were a little more aggressive on the sales side in the season, but the volume of beans that's coming across the scales is big, and it's a lot bigger volume than we ever dreamed.
Have you been able to reach out and talk to folks in Iowa about the crop there?
One important large farming operation said it was above trend 5-year averages on corn. All of Iowa's not that way, but I think it is a very good crop from our sources.
Yeah, and unlike Illinois, is their bean crop going to be better than expected? I'm not sure that they actually got that rainfall after Labor Day that we did.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the verdict is out on that one, and but I do feel the corn crop is pretty good. The big factor here is, of course, so much of our grain industry is oriented, 25 years ago towards the export markets. You know, now it's a lot of domestic with ethanol and users like that, and that's been a big help to the bottom line, you know, with basis and, transportation. So things are changing a great deal, and, of course, when you talk about the typical elevator draw in this area probably has 100 semi-trucks hauling in, it changes the dynamics and the economics of transportation and movement of grain.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Thanks much. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
I've got 5 ways for you to get hold of our programming. Listen to us on the radio. Listen to us on the web. Listen to us on your mobile phone. Call our voicemail or sign up for iTunes. There you go. 5 ways to get programming from willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Center for Biological Diversity and other environmental and agriculture groups have been granted a request to extend an upcoming deadline on settlement talks in a lawsuit against EPA that could affect some 30,000 agriculture chemical species combinations. The parties were granted an extension to November 18th. The lawsuit alleges that EPA violated the Endangered Species Act by not consulting federal wildlife officials about the potential effects that some 300 registered pesticides and other agricultural chemicals would have on about 200 species before approving the use of those chemicals. CropLife America and the American Farm Bureau Federation are among the groups defending EPA's current regulatory approval process. USDA data for July reveals that 45.3 million Americans are now receiving federal benefits under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, previously known as the Food Stamp Program. The number is up 0.4% from June and 8.4% higher than July of 2010. Average monthly benefits under the program totaled just over $6 billion, or $134.25 per person. Automotive manufacturers have filed a brief defending the Environmental Protection Agency's decision to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks following a determination by EPA that those emissions endanger the public. The brief was filed in a case that focuses on whether EPA has the authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from stationary sources. The National Research Council says that the U.S. will likely fail to reach its long-term mandate for making advanced ethanol from trees, grasses, and crop waste unless producers innovate significantly. The comments are the latest sign that backers of alternative fuels must wait longer for next-generation ethanol. The NRC says, quote, absent major technological innovation or policy changes, the mandated consumption of 16 billion gallons of ethanol-equivalent cellulosic biofuels is unlikely to be met in 2022. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can find on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org or at m.willag.org. That's the mobile website. Or you can just listen to us on Saturday mornings on many of these radio stations. We record at 4:30 Friday afternoon. This week, our guest, the folks from the U.S. Grains Council, will explore more about China's corn crop this year. It's all on Commodity Week. We'll record 4:30 and post it to the website by about 6 o'clock on Friday evening. Now, up next, you know, fall is the time to consider just how much cash rent should be paid next year. I'll have more on leasing agreements and one that sets a minimal cash rent and a bonus plan during high income years. The cash rent with bonus leasing agreement is designed to be fair at the end of the year. Now, it does so, says University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke, by setting up a minimum payment to be made to the landlord and a way to provide a bonus payment when gross income is high.
It's a type of a variable cash rent, which has a minimum cash rent or a base cash rent, and then there's a there can be a bonus or a higher rent if revenue exceeds a target. And so what this lease is designed to do is provide some flexibility in these uncertain economic times if revenue turns out to be good in the fall or after the lease is signed, there will be a bonus. If the lease or the economic times turn out to be not so good, there won't be a bonus.
It's a government-friendly cash rent agreement, too, a point that should not be discounted.
FSA requires a meaningful minimum cash rent, and then all the farm programs or the direct payments and any county countercyclical or acre payments can flow to the farmer, which is what most people want, so that the landlord doesn't have to deal with those sorts of things.
Here are the basics of how the cash rent with bonus leasing agreement works. First, as you've already heard, there's a base cash rent. Secondly, a maximum cash rent is also set. Third, the whole thing is based on the crop to be planted. And finally, fourth, parameters are laid out for the bonus. The details are on the FarmDoc Daily website. Here's an example of the bonus part of the agreement.
So let's say we said we're going to share revenue above $720 an acre. You have to determine how much of that the landlord gets. So if we say if revenue turns out to be $1,020 so that we have $300, you have to say that 30% or 40% of this flows to the landlord.
But the cash rent for the year then is the base, or $200 in this case, plus a percentage of the gross income over $700, and not to exceed a grand total in this example of $550 per acre. That is $200 plus a bonus if the gross income exceeds $720 per acre, the base plus the bonus max out at $550 per acre. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On up next, a few farmers will be tempted, as they have time right now, to apply nitrogen for next year's corn crop. I'll tell you why they should wait.
The soil fertility specialist from University of Illinois Extension says it's not a good idea to apply nitrogen this early in the season, and that anhydrous ammonia application shouldn't take place until the 4-inch soil temperature is 50 degrees or below. Here's Fabian Fernandez.
And the reason for that is because with warmer temperatures, the bacteria that transform ammonium to nitrate is very active in the soil. And the bacteria will continue active until 32 degrees, but the activity is reduced quite a bit after 50 degrees. So that's why we recommend those 50 degree temperatures.
If the applications are made prior to the time the 50 degree and declining soil temperatures are reached, the nitrogen fertilizer escapes into the environment, and the money spent on it is lost. Central Illinois 4-inch soil temperatures, by the way, usually arrive about the third week in October, Northern Illinois in the middle part of the month. Corn farmers in the southern part of the state should simply wait until next spring to make their applications. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Scott Butcher of the Anderson's Climbers Facility joins us from Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Producers hauling in both corn and soybeans today?
We're not seeing a lot of corn right now. We're seeing a lot of new crop beans being cut in our area, so that's most of our flow right now.
The word of the day is better than they thought. Is that the case in your area?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely seems like the yields are better than what they were anticipated to be. On the small amount of corn that has been done, we've heard better than anticipated, and I think beans have been very good as well.
And the beans are much better than they expected, or not?
You know, I think a lot of guys going into harvest thought that beans would be pretty good. I mean, the bean plants themselves look good. They had seemed to handle the heat better than the corn did. So I think that most guys thought they were going to have, you know, pretty good bean yields anyway.
I bet the local processors are feeling better, and they have widened their basis out. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've definitely seen those basis levels widen out here the last, few days even, and basis is going to be pretty volatile. It'll change, you know, every day as they continue to see beans.
Turn your attention to the corn basis. I know as you have looked to the east, you've seen some overs for the last several weeks. Are they still that way?
Yeah, the folks in the east are definitely scrambling to find corn. Little to no harvest activity over there. They're still probably, a week away in a lot of areas. So it's going to continue for a while.
Well, we've had quite a break in the futures prices from Chicago for corn. I know you followed that down, but did the basis widen out in the process as corn has been coming in through the harvest season, or are you still pretty tight?
Yeah, I think things are still pretty tight. I mean, I don't necessarily know that basis has widened out anywhere on corn, not that I know of anyway. Now, as we start to see, you know, corn hit the pipeline and, you know, start to move different places, we may see that, but I guess maybe the opinion that I think corn basis will stay strong all through harvest.
And if it's strong through harvest, it'll be strong pretty much the rest of the year, don't you think?
I think so.
All right. Anything else beside your bids for the day, please?
Right now, corn, we are 605, beans 1112.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility there in Delphi, Indiana. We'll say so long on this Wednesday afternoon to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just 2 minutes with an agricultural weather forecast from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Apple Betty Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1902, Ray Kroc was born in Oak Park, Illinois. Kroc sold blenders for milkshakes, and one of his customers was a restaurant in San Bernardino, California, owned by Maurice and Richard McDonald. Kroc set up a chain of drive-in restaurants based on their efficient assembly line production kitchen. He opened the first restaurant on April 15, 1955 in Des Plaines, Illinois. By 1961, he had 228 restaurants, and he bought out the McDonald brothers. When he died in 1984, there were over 7,500 McDonald's restaurants. In 1983, Earl Tupper died, an American inventor. His research led to Tupperware. First, he developed a method for purifying black polyethylene slag, a waste product produced in oil refinement, into a substance that was flexible, tough, non-porous, non-greasy, and translucent. And second, he developed the Tupper seal, an airtight, watertight lid modeled on the lid for paint containers. And in 2007, 1 week after recalling almost 22 million pounds of ground beef products, Tops Meat Company announced that it was going out of business. Tops had to recall the meat after samples tested positive for E. coli bacteria. Tops was one of the country's largest manufacturers of frozen hamburgers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated joins us to take up the agricultural forecast. Drew, where do you want to start today?
Well, I think we need to focus in on hard red winter wheat. I know that's already been beat to death probably this week, but it is still the hot topic of the day. We are still looking at a significant rain event coming up for hard red winter wheat country. This will likely begin as some sporadic showers over the next 24 hours and gradually increase into a significant rain event with repetitive thunderstorms occurring from north-central Texas through central Kansas into a part of eastern Nebraska at 1 to 2, and some localized amounts getting upwards to over 4 inches will be possible in some locations. Right now, it looks like the greatest rains on the new model run are suggesting that it's going to be focused more on Oklahoma and north-central Texas, giving Kansas a little bit of a lighter bias at midday today. So we're going to continue to watch this really closely over the next day or two. If we lose more rainfall in Kansas, that will have a significant impact on the marketplace. But for right now, it still looks like a very good rain event that's going to moisten up the soil in quite a few areas.
This is a very important rainfall because without it, the hard red winter wheat growing regions are in tough trouble even before that crop really gets off to a start at all.
That's right. This is a critical deal, and I would say it's probably $1 million rain for sure, if not multi-million dollar rain. So if we get the moisture, there's going to be some aggressive planting and some good or improved crop establishment. One thing I want to say, though, I do not believe this is a trend changer. So we are, even though we're seeing a good improvement in the soil situation there, or will by the end of the weekend, this is not the start of a regular weather pattern. We're going to fall back to drier and warmer bias conditions that will prevail probably through the rest of the autumn season. So this is very, very important rain.
Can you check in on the rest of the wheat belt growing regions around the northern hemisphere? Many of them were in trouble earlier in the year, which was one of the largest concerns we had. Is that still the case?
There are still a number of hot spots out there. France is still hurting for moisture. France is probably going to go a good week yet before there's a better chance for some precipitation. It's already gone over 2.5 weeks without any moisture and really getting quite dry there. The crop is not establishing very well, and that's impacting wheat and rapeseed there. There's also dryness in southeastern Europe from Slovakia down into Greece. That area may start seeing some relief develop as we finish out this coming weekend and move on into next week. It'll come erratically, so not everybody's going to get relieved at the same time, but there is at least an opportunity for rain there. The same kind of scenario is going to play out in Ukraine and portions of south-central Russia, which is also very dry right now, and the earliest opportunity for rain in these areas will probably occur sometime around mid to late week next week, but there is at least some opportunity for moisture there. Outside of that, China is looking great right now. India's outlook is really fairly good as well for planting. In Australia, we've got some dryness in western parts of the country, but is that that state, Western Australia, is actually in much better shape than it was a year ago. So even though if they lose a little bit of yield potential, they're still going to have a stellar year relative to last year, which was very much drought-stricken. And last stop is Argentina, which is still going to get an opportunity for rain here at the end of the week. Probably late tomorrow night into Saturday morning, some of the wheat country will get rain. In fact, it should be a fairly well-distributed rain event. And then we'll fall back into some drier weather there for a while as well. So some of the western crop areas in Argentina will be a bit dry.
Thank you so much, Drew.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.